Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, a man with the mic, Kyle. What an amazing show we have for you. Oh, wow, the 90th Oscars. Since it was the 90th, you know, they had to have like the, what did they have, like record high ratings or whatever? I'll get into that because not exactly the ratings they had hoped for. I want to pay tribute tonight to Deputy Jacob Pickett, 34-year-old from Indiana, from Boone County, the first deputy shot since 1935. And our thoughts and prayers especially go out to his wife and his two kids. A young orphaned chimpanzee named Musa snuggled with the pilot as he was smuggled out, and this video is raising awareness of the poaching of these endangered species. I'll get into that issue that doesn't come up that often. That's big. Living in Vermont, I wanted to get into this. Co-founder of Ben & Jerry's got arrested over the weekend because, you know, there's F-35 fighter jets that fly over and people are complaining who live in the flight path. And he said, if he got arrested for basically being a noise ordinance, well then, hey, aren't these planes violating a noise ordinance? I'll get into my thoughts on that. President Trump had a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu to talk about, you know, Middle East peace. Will anything ever get done there? I want to get into also North Korea agreeing to talks with South Korea and saying they want to denuclearize. Is that real? Is that false? Who knows? I got on my Dale Coyne Racing shirt from the good old kart series days, the Champ Car Series days. Indianapolis native Connor Daly got some exciting news for that. I also want to get into a illegal immigrant who pleads guilty using fake IDs and different things to steal $361,000 in government benefits. Gotta love that. Love those dreamers. But you don't want a wall, but that much, much more. And so welcome to the program that I hope you feel a part of. Hebrews 11:6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Think about that as you're going through your evening or day or whenever you have it. At some point during this thing, I'll be doing the Facebook Live thing. So I had some people, some friends, so anyone listening around the world, if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you'll be able to get about 5 or 10 minutes of it live. So, wow, 90th Oscars. And guess what, folks? The ratings are in the toilet. The lowest ratings in history. But here's the thing, though. If it was the Grammys, or if it was any other award show, I don't give a flying falutin, whatever you want to say. If they were praising Trump, that has no business there. It's the Oscars. It's the Grammys. You want to know, okay, who won the R&B album of the year? I don't, even if they were praising Trump, it has no business at the Oscars. or at the Golden Globes or any of these events. They're bashing Trump, but it's sort of like the NFL. People wanted to watch the NFL to get away from this political bullcrap, not to have all these people, I'm going to take a knee because I make $5 billion a year and I'm discriminated against. Kidding me? People want to watch the NFL to get away from it. They don't want to, they don't want that political stuff. They want to get away from the political crap. That's what they, you know, that's why. People don't, what is it? Someone posted a thing that like, where is it? I got to bring this up. I about laughed. What is it? Trump has a 39% approval rating. I want to know who came up with that one. Probably the same people that said, okay, well, you people on the right, all you conservatives, all you Trump supporters, you're not going to accept the election results, and you're going to whine for 4 years about a rigged election. You can't rig an election, folks. It can't be rigged. Well, I've shown videos that prove that you put this disk in the computer program, and you may vote for Hillary Clinton, but once it ships off, the vote flips, so you never see it. So you can vote for Trump, and they'll say you're voting for Trump, but after it's been sent, that's when it switches to Hillary. They've proven it. You can rig an election. No, you can't. No, you can't. You're going to spend 4 years just to accept that Hillary's going to win. And what happened? As soon as Hillary lost, she didn't accept the election result, and now it's Russia. Russia meddled in the election. Russia hacked. It's Russia. They hacked the election. Wait a minute. I thought you couldn't. I thought the election couldn't be rigged. You couldn't hack it. You couldn't do all this stuff. Now they're saying you can. And Russia's your mind left. That's the same people that are saying that Trump only has a 39% approval rating. No, Trump got elected because there's a crap load of people out there that aren't political and don't voice their opinion that, like, I'm voting for Trump. And you would never know it. They'll never say it. You'll never hear about it. So, I've never been into Hollywood or any of that. Like I said, it's been a long time since I've said this. But if you're a long time listener to the show, you'll know this. When I used to talk about how people would sit there and, where's their own kids? I don't know. I don't know where my kids are, but, oh, I got my John and K plus 8 app. Yep. I got the kid, the John and K plus 8 kid binder. I know where, I know exactly to the 64th of a mile where all John and K plus 8's kids are, but where are my kids? I don't know. I could care less. I do. I started to watch Gold Rush, and so all they did was fight and argue. Same thing. You talk to a lot of people. They used to, because if you haven't heard, they're bringing back American Chopper. A lot of people thought it was neat seeing them build the choppers until it got to be a damn soap opera, and all they did was fight and argue with each other and break down doors and crap, and then people lost interest. You wonder how much of that was the network saying, oh, no one's going to watch a show if everything, I want to see everything go right. I want to see them maybe have some issues and, okay, I don't want to see them, like, fight and piss and moan and complain all the time and fight like girls. Like, God, like, get over it. You know, and I got to the point with, like, Gold Rush where if I really wanted to watch, if I really wanted to see anything, I'll just wait till the last episode and find the gold pool where they sit there and they weigh all the gold. Because then I can bypass all the BS. And that's, you know, I've never really been into these award shows. Never really watched them. Now it's kind of neat because I can go back and watch some of the performances of the Grammys. But I've never been into that stuff. And I wouldn't just say, oh, wow, they're praising Trump. I better watch it now. I wouldn't watch it anyway. But you get all these people that they bash it's like some, there are people out there that actually want to watch the Golden Globes or the Oscars or whatever for the Oscars, for the Golden Globes, not for your opinion. What does you hating Trump have to do with the popularity of this movie or that movie? I don't get it, but hey. I was pretty close to where I live. A sheriff's deputy was fatally shot by a fleeing suspect in Indiana, state police have said. A Boone County sheriff's deputy in Indiana was fatally shot Friday morning after attempting to apprehend a fleeing suspect. Jacob Pickett was critically wounded while assisting in the chase that later had him pass away. And that is through the, that's the information we've gotten through the Indiana State Police. Pickett was the first person killed in the line of duty in Boone County Sheriff's Office since 1935. Officers of the Lebanon Police Department were at the scene to serve a woman and who had an outstanding warrant at 9:30 a.m. when they spotted a man who they recognized as John D. Baldwin Jr., 28, who had an outstanding warrant for violation of a probation of a substance of a syringe. And when they tried to stop, it just, they took off and the suspect is in the hospital until he is able to be released, and then he will be serving jail time. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the wife and the two kids. It's sad. I don't understand. Like, they think they're just going to shoot the officer and get away. And he is an organ donor. And all of his organs that can be harvested are going to be harvested and used. So he's going to, his courageousness and love is going to carry on. And if you don't know that, it's only about a half an hour from where I live. So it kind of hits home. You know, I did, one of my friends wrote me and she goes, "Yeah, I'm doing the Back to Blue event." And I'm like, I'm right there with you. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, well, I think this is where we're going. I think you're going this way, this back way into this fire station. And I pull over just to double check. And these people came up in Jeeps and says, "Are you going to the Back to Blue event?" I said, "Yep." I said, "Yeah, Christy Price says there might be one silver Mustang." And that was the only Mustang, and the rest were either trucks or Jeeps. So it was, but, you know, anytime you can Back to Blue and help them out, let them know that they're loved and they're cared for, you can do it. And if I can get, hopefully, if they've got some information on, like, a trust fund or whatever for the kids, I'll get that out so that we can get behind them and for the kids. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. I love sea shepherds. I love helping animals, you know, whether it's whales or whatever the case. I'm a huge, you know, oh, we're doing research. No, you're just slaughtering animals. I know people that do tons of research on wolves and they don't have to slaughter a wolf. But then when you go to Japan and you can have whale meat listed as tuna, it looks the same. You can mostly ever spread. I probably couldn't tell you the difference. I'm a chef. But an orphan chimpanzee was rescued from poachers, snuggles with pilot on rescue flight. If you don't know, in a lot of the jungles, chimpanzees, the adults, are killed for jungle meat. And then the babies are sold off, and then when they get old enough, hopefully they procreate and they have ones, and then they slaughter the the adults for jungle meat. And then they take the babies and they sell the babies. And it's an endangered animal. And it's nice to see that hopefully this video is bringing light to the problem. Because it's an endangered animal. And so like the shark fins. It doesn't matter what the shark fin is. All shark fins have no flavor. They don't. But if it's an endangered shark, they can get 50 times the money for that shark fin, even though it's going to taste the same as the cheapest shark fin. But it's just nice to see at least one get rescued, and hopefully this sheds a light on this massive problem. Because, you know, it's an endangered species, and if they can make money off of it, they'll do it. Because it gets sold for bush / jungle meat. And then they take the babies and they sell them. And then they treat the baby like a human being and really nice to it until it gets old enough to where they can hopefully get bush meat out of it after they hopefully get more chimps to come out. And not many people, same thing with elephants, you know, they're being killed by the, whatever they can do to get the tusks. That's why they're making it illegal to have anything with tusks. With the ivory tusk, because they're taking and they're killing animals in the name of tusks, aka elephants. So, since I lived there for 2 years, yeah, if you ever lived in Vermont, Super Troopers is so much more funnier if you've ever lived in Vermont. But Burlington, Vermont, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream knew he was disturbing the peace with a noisy demonstration against fighter jets. Ben Cohen told the Burlington Free Press, "That was exactly my point. You know, he got arrested for disorderly conduct and all this stuff and being a nuisance and all this stuff. And he goes, well, if I'm a nuisance and all this, then what do you think these jets are? Because people are complaining. Okay, people have a house in the flight pattern of jets near the Vermont National Guard Air Base. And they're going to complain about fighter jet noise. Okay. Now I get his. I support what he's doing. You know, he's standing up for what he believes in. But at the same time, a smart man would say, "Okay, well, let me look at the flight patterns here. Okay, let me see here. The Chicago O'Hare Airport is over here. This would be base. This is fine. Okay, I'm going to be in the flight path of landing planes and taking off planes. I need to think about that. Is that if they're not loud, then okay. But if I'm loud, if they're loud, well, then wait a minute. Maybe that's not where I want to be. If the plane's not going to bother me, the noise isn't going to bother me, then maybe I might consider buying a house here. But if it's going to bother me, maybe I shouldn't buy a house there. If you know you're near the Air National Guard, Vermont area, or the Burlington International Airport, then if you're basically in that vicinity of where planes are taking off and on, and you say to yourself, okay, I need to do something. Because these planes are taking, you should think about that. Where's that like Trulicity, where your house is more than just a house, and they show like people like setting gasoline on fire and the tree catches on fire and all this, and it may be a great house, but the house is only part of it. You got to think about the whole neighborhood and everything else, all the stuff around it. You need to think about that. Burlington voters will weigh on Tuesday on whether city council officials should oppose F-35s at Burlington International Airport. Critics say the F-35s are noisier than fighters currently used by the Vermont Air National Guard. Who knows? Will we ever get any? I don't know. I don't think it'll. You're screwed no matter what because those people don't know what they have a house near an airport and they're complaining about loud noise from jets. Gotta love this world, but that's the world we live in, folks. That's the world we live in. But I do support their complaint, but hey, you know, think about where you live and where you decide to set up a shop. You know, we don't need a wall. We don't need a wall. No, we don't. We don't need no. You know, it's okay. Don't worry, folks. Illegal immigrants, they don't do anything. We don't need, dreamers, they're great, yada, 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 all this BS. Let me see here. Dreamers are great. Illegal immigrant from Mexico pleads guilty to using fake identity to steal $361,000 in government benefits. Oh, trust me. In Indiana, we've had people that have... Oh, yeah, what we're going to do here, folks, is we're going to take and we're going to claim like 25 kids on our tax return and they were getting the money back from it. From 1989 to 2016, according to the plea agreement, she received around $361,000 in benefits, including Medi-Cal food stamps, supplemental Social Security income benefits, all this stuff. Oh, but these illegals, they're good people. They want to tug at your heartstrings when this is a lot of the people that are illegal. They take advantage of all the loopholes and the benefits. But hey. I don't know. Maybe somewhere out there. Maybe somewhere out there you'll have people that get it, but I don't get how people don't want a wall. See, but it's the same people that are fighting against the wall have one around their house. That's the problem we have with this country. We're just fed up with the double standards of having there is a financial inequality there. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and John McCain and all these politicians. There is a double standard. There is one. Double standard's huge. Because when you bring up Michael Moore's $50 million, oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Or Pelosi.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that
right now. Why not? Yeah, you are. You're talking about financial inequality. Oh, I guess, when you're trying to say that Trump's rich, but you're not. I wish I had her billions of dollars. Now, this is kind of interesting because Trump and Netanyahu to meet amid growing uncertainty in Middle East peace deal. I don't know why every president just thinks, yep, we got Bill Clinton as president. He's Middle East is fixed. Everything's going to be normal. Don't worry, folks. And we got Trump as president, the Middle East peace talks, oh, they're going to happen, I guarantee you. Peace is going to happen in the Middle East. This piece of land that Pakistan and Afghanistan have been fighting over for millions of years, or Iran and Iraq. You know, you have Iran and, you know, Iraq and all these countries that have these parts in the Middle East, and you have like Israel and Pakistan, or Israel and Iran, and they're fighting over this trade or this stuff that they've been fighting over for thousands of years. It's just magically going to be fixed. But hey, that's how it goes. I mean, they all try, but it's hard to fix something that's been going on since longer than we've been a country. I mean, at least they're trying to figure out something, you know. But I don't get it. I mean, it's like they think they're going to throw down the medical gauntlet. Well, it's only because Barack Obama hasn't been involved in the peace talks that we don't have peace talks, you know. But I want peace in the Middle East. We all do. But it's something that's never going to, I don't see it happening. When you have a piece of land that two countries have been fighting over for thousands of years, I don't see it ever changing. I mean, there's even talk now that North Korea is considering peace talks and like disarmament. So we'll have to wait and see. About 4 minutes away probably from going live on, I'll do Facebook if anyone is out there that's a friend on Facebook. But it's just this, I don't understand, because you have North Korea coming out kind of, because they've actually want to have talks with South Korea, and they've actually been pushing this. So we'll have to wait and see if it comes to fruition, if North Korea actually takes its promise and says, hey, we are going to disarm. Maybe North Korea is saying, hey, maybe they're...
North Korea will just use Russia.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. I don't... Maybe there's a one... There's a 1/16% chance that they actually want to try to do something. I don't see it. I don't see it. I could be right. I could be wrong. But, okay. And what do you know? Maybe they will. So we'll just have to wait and see if that happens, what happens. We can always hope, just like with the Middle East peace, we can always hope that there's going to be peace in the Middle East. Do I actually think it's going to happen? No, but hey. But hey, we can dream. I mean, I'm a dreamer. We all are. I mean, the only difference is I was born here. But you have this notion that, like, there's going to be no peace in the Middle East. And I hope we can have peace in the Middle East. But, I mean, hopefully there's something legitimate in this at all. I think what they're going to say is it's going to be an Iran deal. Oh, yeah, we're gonna get rid of all the nuclear stuff. And when they get rid of the nuclear stuff, it's going to be fixed. You know, like where they're not going to get, they're going to say they're going to get rid of it and have talks, but they're willing, they just want to get stuff for their, and in the end, they're not going to change their way. If they start allowing more freedom for their people, then, okay. But once they get this stuff, you know, it's like I support making peace with Cuba and helping Cuba out, but they got to have something written down for their people. How are you going to make it better for your people? How are you going to get rid of the communism? How are you going to give your people the freedom? Okay, folks, we're going to be going live here on Facebook. So here we go, folks. We are now live on Facebook, and as I'm always around the world, thank you so much for tuning in, anyone who's watching on Facebook Live. We've been talking about North Korea and the Middle East, and is there going to ever be peace in the Middle East? Is North Korea serious? Do they really want to denuclearize? And I feel it's an Iran deal where they're going to say one thing and do something else. They just want to try to get on our good side to get what they can get from us. And in the end, they're still going to keep nuke. You know, it's like when Obama dealt with Cuba, he could have said, okay, yeah, we're going to sit there and we're going to do stuff with Cuba. But if we're going to get buddy-buddy with Cuba again, and we're going to stop the embargo, what are you going to do to make it better for your people? How are you going to be there for your people and help them and not have them be controlled by you and live in the hell that they live in? Because we want to ensure that the people of North Korea are getting something out of this. Instead of, okay, look at what Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-un and the leaders and what they, the life they live in, the food they eat when their own people are starving. When they tell you when to eat, when to sleep, when if you can eat, if you can have anything. It's like they had a march where these people are protesting wanting socialism and stuff, and then he's like, well, I'm from Russia. You want socialism? Oh, don't film me, don't film me. I'm like, and this lady goes ballistic. He goes, I've lived where socialism doesn't work. He goes, here's your toothbrush. Well, I got 12 toothbrushes. I don't need a damn toothbrush. Well, good luck. That's the problem in this world. I don't know where these kids are coming from. I don't get it. I mean, I really hope North Korea is sincere, but I believe it's just a ruse. It's just like these, if you watched Bill Maher, they had two of the kids. Well, unless you were in a locked classroom, you can't tell me anything. You cannot say anything about how dare anyone want to keep guns free and available to people. How dare anyone is against a gun ban. I lost 5 friends my senior year of high school to drinking. You know what the last thing I ever thought of? Ban alcohol. I never thought, you know, and there are kids and parents coming out now that, okay, as soon as that incident happened, it was instantly ban guns, ban guns, ban guns. Well, Chicago would be like Mayberry if gun bans worked. Detroit would be like Mayberry if gun bans worked. But it doesn't. And that's the problem we have in this world. People are being told, okay, this is what you're going to say. What you're going to do. These kids who 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago were having politicians want to change the color of Tide Pods because they're eating them are now saying, well, until you're in a classroom that had to have the door locked because of a gunman, don't talk to me about gun control. Well, I've been in Chicago. I've been in parts of Detroit. Let me tell you, they have heavy, heavy ban on guns. Some of the most restricted. Detroit would have, if Detroit was its own nation, it would be one of the highly, it would be like the second highest in gun violence.
I think that's Chicago.
Well, yeah. Chicago, too, would be up there, like the second or third. But, hey, they banned guns. You know? Just like that lady that has $361,000 in illegal money. Oh, we don't need a wall. We don't need a wall. These dreamers, these illegals, they're good people. Except for the ones that steal $361,000 in money and murder. You know, like when Kate Steinle was killed, where was the gun debate? When the Colts player was killed, where was Black Lives Matter? Because it was a black guy that was killed. Where was all this? It's an agenda. It's like people that say, well, Trump has a 39% approval rating. Who's telling that? The same people that said that we wouldn't accept the election results? The same people that said, well, you can't rig an election, who now say it was rigged? That's the problem we have in this world, folks. We need to wake up. But what the people in D.C. don't want is the left and the right coming together and saying, hey, wait a minute, we've been screwed. That's why we voted for Trump, because he was not a politician. Let's give someone who's not from D.C. a chance. Hey, we've been screwed by the left and the right because the left wing and the right wing come out the same bird. And since we've been screwed so many times, let's give someone else a try who's not from the political circles. That's the biggest common denominator when I get into it with any of my liberal friends. When we really get down to it, I'm like, they're all crooks. Yeah, they are. Well, then that's what I'm trying to get across to you from my post. They're all crooks. Show me a poor politician. You're never going to find one. If I was to have the money Nancy Pelosi has making $107,000, no, she has a $100 million net worth. And she gets
$176,000
$176,000 a year. Yeah. If I was to have that kind of income differential, IRS would be on my ass. But hey, that's kind of how it goes, you know. But don't worry, because, you know, it's okay for her to be rich because she's a Democrat. You know. Now, this is what we need to get back into. This is amazing. A Virginia dad forces his bully son that's 10 years old to run to school in the rain after he's been banned from the bus. And there's people like, how dare you make him do that? I'm like, my dad would. It's finally, this is parenting. This is what a parent's supposed to do. Discipline their kids. Not the other way around. Not well, you can't do that to your kid. Oh, crap, my dad would take a hickory stick out and whip my... If I did something wrong, but I wouldn't do something wrong because he would do that. I was smart enough. See, there's a difference. 95% of parents, when I was growing up, if they smacked you or spanked you or hit you, it was on purpose. Because you did something wrong. There were 5% that would just abuse you and beat you for no reason, but the majority of parents, they beat you. Okay, I got my ass whipped for acting out at Kmart. I'm not going to do it again. Now, when you act up, here you go. Have this aerosol can. Will you shut up if I give it to you? There you go, and that's what they do. And there's some people outraged at this. I'm like, well, he's being a parent. If he's been banned from the bus, you're gonna run in the ring. You're gonna learn from it. You're gonna learn from your mistakes. You think you're gonna get away and be a nice bully and all this. But that's how it is. You know, we actually have a parent doing its job and you have people like outraged. Some people think it's fine. I think it's just great parenting.
Being a boy.
Yes, it is. Okay. I'm going to get into this because this is great. And it's there was a guy that took a photo of this. They were and was the family actually took a picture. There's a woman who claimed that she had a double barrel like handgun that was a necklace. It's like an 18th century like handgun that has two barrels, and she had it on her necklace. And there are flight attendants and stuff and passengers that thought that that was real and that it could be a danger, and that's why. And she was forced to remove it, had it confiscated. A gun necklace? Are you kidding me? What would that thing do? I mean, we're getting over paranoid, folks. Yeah, well, see, if I have a guitar necklace or a drum necklace, are they going to confiscate it because it might be a noise nuisance? Mm-hmm. I mean, the stupidity that's going on in this world is just ridiculous. It's utter ridiculous, but there is good news. I love Chick-fil-A, and I'd work for them in a heartbeat. There is a guy who is homeless, and he was at a Chick-fil-A, and they're slammed, they're busy in the rush, and the manager doesn't offer him seconds, doesn't offer him scraps, doesn't offer him nothing. He offers him a full-fledged meal on one condition, that he can pray over the guy. And the photo has gone viral. And that's what we need more in this country. You know, people praying over people, being there for people. And that's just amazing. And it's from January 25, 2016. So, but it's a company like that, and they do that stuff all the time. If you go to Chick-fil-A's, they managers will pray for you. They'll be there for you because it's more than a business. Friend, if this was in 2016, it just shows that there are still places where people will care about you. And I love it because they got finally into an NFL stadium. And guess what? They're closed on Sundays. Their employees don't work. So to see a place that does this kind of thing, it's just awesome. I know it's old, but it's just a great. And I want to thank you all for tuning in to Facebook Live. I'm going to be continuing on via the conversation on Block Talk Radio around the world, wherever you're listening. Thank you for tuning in. Facebook Live is ending, and thank you for continuing to listen on Block Talk Radio, folks. It's a conversation that I hope you feel a part of. And I want to get into this because I got about 15 minutes left, and I'm on cloud nine. You can't tell. I've been going, what is this, my 33rd year I'll be for my 500 this year. I think it's 33rd. Or 32nd. I think it's my 32nd year. I was on my break, and it comes up that Connor Daly has, like, a press conference. I'm like, he's an Indianapolis native, amazing, and he will drive the 2018 Indy 500 with Dale Coon Racing. If you see, I've got my Dale Coon Racing jersey on. This is back when they had, this is from the Champ Car days. Yeah. And it's a joint entry with Tom Burns Racing, and it's just amazing. They got a partnership with Air Force. They're going to be doing some massive recruiting efforts. Going to be amazing. An American driver being sponsored by Air Force. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. And if Sebastian Bourdais will be my driver if he is racing this year. But everyone was talking about on that live feed from the press conference, you know, about merchandise and stuff like this. And it's a lot of money, folks. And if he's only going to be doing that one race for Dale Coon, Thomas Burns Racing, that joint entry, it's not going to be feasible to get any type of merchandising out there. You're not going to be able to get like diecast of any kind or shirts, especially when they have drivers that come out. You know, like when Alex Tagliani's done one race, or Sebastian Bourdais does one race, they don't really have it. It's too costly and too time consuming to try to get shirts or hats made, especially just for one race. You know, so basically what you'll do is, if you have any Connor Daly stuff, just wear it to the race. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I think he has great skills, great interviews, you know, and great driving, great skills. I think he could easily pull it off. He could win that race. So it's nice to see him have a chance at a 500. It's about 12 minutes left in the program, folks. I'm going to get into just a little bit of NASCAR because I do follow that. You don't know, by now, three races in, and two of them belong to Happy Harvick. Oh, yeah, he won the last two races, and everyone's kind of not knowing what to think because, well, everyone's changing their body styles up and doing this, and Ford didn't test their body styles, and everyone thought, they're going to be behind, and you know, everyone's innovating and updating and all this stuff, and Ford didn't mess with anything, and they're the ones that are winning, and everyone else is trying to play catch up. And I think, hey, we've already wind tunneled these, we've already tested them, we already know what works and what doesn't work. So, hey, you know, why mess with a good thing? And I think until they get some more, they figure out where they're at with the cars that they have, so they figure out where they are with the cars they have, you know, see, Fords aren't having to figure out what's the deal with their cars. They're just having to tweak what they have. The other guys are having to figure, okay, well, yeah, we need, you know, we gotta do some reconfiguring the stuff, and so it's kind of interesting, you know. But that's how it works. It could have backfired before. Ford could have been like, nah, well, hey, look, they figured out ideas and things that work, and they've improved. Well, we have the exact opposite. We have stuff that we know has worked, and since it's worked, we're just going to stay with it. I'm going to get into now, got about just over 10 minutes left, and I'm going to get into some Premier League. So it's one of those things that I was getting ready. I was going to work, and I'm like on my way to work because yesterday I only worked 4 to 8, and I was done by like 7:30. And I'm like, Manchester United was playing, and I'm going to work, and I quick check at a stoplight when I was completely dead stopped at a red light, and I had like three cars in front of me. I quick check on the score. 16 minutes in, 1-0, we're down to Crystal Palace. I'm like, okay, and then it's 2-0, and I'm like, bloody hell, how? This is Crystal Palace. Bloody hell. How in the heck are we down 2-0? And I'm about to pull my hair out, which is already coming out anyways. I'm gonna be going to that the barber shop that pays only half price for bald guys. I'm like, what the heck? And then it becomes, you know, we get one goal, then two goals, and then I'm doing the dining room because I'm working in the dining room while I was working and serving the residents, and when I was partway through it, my buddy Milo was there tuning one of our pianos because the Northside Music does all our piano tuning. So I'm like, "Hey, Milo, what's up?" And I'm running back and forth like a banshee, and like right near the end, to like about 6:30 or whatever, when we slow down, I click on my phone. It's like 3-2, and I'm like, "Yes, we got 3 points." Because I feel like with Mourinho, we go like 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Well, we're making progress, but we're going ahead 2 steps, and then we're going back 1. We're going ahead 2, back 1. Going ahead 3, back 2. And it's just like, you know. And I think it's not going to be too much longer. I think basically, right, from what I gather, give it 2 more games. And I think if City wins 2 more games, I think it's pretty much locked. I don't think they're going to talk about it, but I'm pretty sure after like two more games, if they win, even if they lose every other game and we win them all, we can't catch them. As people still talk about Mourinho out, Mourinho out, Mourinho out. Well, he's second place in the Premier League. Only team better is a team that's doing something no one's ever done in the Premier League. We're in the Champions League. You got a UEFA League title. Hopefully we'll get an FA Cup title. If we make it to the semifinals in the Champions League, anything beyond that is a bonus. We're not doing that bad. I mean, granted, I wish it was more like success, in my opinion, in terms of, because I feel like we have some success and then we go back some. We go forward some, then we go back some. And it's like, okay, wow, we won this game. Well, this team we should lose to, we win. This team we should blow out of the water, we lose to. And it's just kind of like the frustrating where it's like, I think we, this back and forth of, instead of, I'd rather go forward, even if we're inching forward, than feel like we go forward a bunch, then we go back a bunch, then we go forward a bunch. It's just like that back and forth. But I mean, Mourinho's our manager, and I support him. I don't know why in all God's green earth that he's, what he sees in Fellaini. I don't get it. Why he is obsessed with trying to get him. And okay, you need to get in there. We got to have this guy on our team. I mean, I grant it, he can sit there and okay, he should have had two red cards by now, and he hasn't even gotten a penalty. I mean, that I can see, because that has happened. I used to listen to the radio broadcast when they would, before they started blocking him. And they'd have like the Fellaini counter. Like, okay, there's another penalty. You know, he should have a yellow card at least. You know, four, like, this is the 10th foul. Why doesn't he have at least a yellow card? Minimum. But now, where I live, it's gotten to the point where they don't even, like, the games are not aired due to rights restrictions and all that crap. Because you used to be able to listen to them through TuneIn Radio and all this stuff, and then TalkSport used to carry them, and then you can't get it on there, so... Because I used to be able to listen to the games at least on my phone when I couldn't watch them on TV when I was working. And they used to do, like, the Mauro Fellaini, like, penalty counter. And, like, they would go to, like, sometimes 15, 20 penalties that were not, okay, he should have a red card with all these fouls. And he hasn't even been given, and that's the only thing I really liked about him, was he could literally... He should have been red carded four times over in a game, and nothing was done about it. And I'm like, and the one announcer goes, even if you're a United fan, you're like, how is he getting away with this? And I would say this, I'm like, I'm an open ended guy. Okay, if a Manchester United player does something that deserves a red card, I'm screaming, why is he not getting a red card? He should be taken off the field for that. He could have injured that player. I'm not one of those people like, yeah, he got away with it. Yeah, thank God. No, I'm like, he should, you know. And I'm like, well, how in the heck is he should have been thrown out of the game. But hey, the match, he should be gone. It's interesting, you know, to see. We've got Liverpool coming up on Saturday. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a morning game, so I might be able to catch some of that unless I want to sleep in. But it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting as we go forward, because that's the thing that struggles a lot of us fans, and I can see it's been the up and down of, well, there was a time where, oh, out, we need to get Mourinho out, and then we start doing well, and then we get Sanchez, and like, yeah, we got Sanchez, and then once he came in, he kind of disrupted the team a little bit because, okay, where does he fit into the club? And then once we got him into the club, okay, now we're trying to figure out where he fits in. And once he gets fit in, then we started going downhill because we're trying to figure out where does he fit in the club and the team. You know, is he going to be on the right? Is he going to be on the right side, the left side? Is he going to be up front? And once we got that sorted out, we're starting to do better. And now I'm one of these people, okay, I want the team to be successful. If Mourinho's the man to do it, he's the man to do it. There's two reasons why I get wanted in the beginning. Because he doesn't get respect in England, and he's usually not at the club that long. I want to have someone that's going to be there for 4 or 5 years and bang. 6 years, 7 years, that's going to be successful, not someone that's going to be successful and then gone. I mean, I think the initial plan was they thought that Louis van Gaal would come in there and he would give him 5 or 6 or 7 great years and he would take Ryan Giggs under his wing and show him, and then Ryan Giggs would take over. But since Louis van Gaal didn't last that long at all, then Ryan Giggs was kind of just like, okay, well, he hasn't been there enough. He needs more experience. Have someone that knows what they're doing. And what happened is, you know, I think if Louis van Gaal would have been very successful and been there for 7 or 8 years with Ryan Giggs as an assistant, I think if he left, they would have probably given Ryan Giggs a chance. But being that long without a title, they don't want to put the hands of the club in the hands of somebody that's kind of like a noob, that they don't want to risk it. I mean, if we've had 3 titles in, you know, if it's been a year since we've had a title, then I don't have a problem. But that's one of the main reasons why I didn't want Mourinho, is because he's not at the club that long. But I think that was the initial plan, I think, anyways, that Louis van Gaal would have been there 7, 8 years with Giggs as a side. If Giggs stayed there, then they would, okay, transition him into the position. And if he was successful, great. If not, then go our separate ways. And with that, remember, folks, with the firm alliance and the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Good night, and God bless. Goodbye.